You're working up to asking top price. That's fair enough, but stop playing games with me, Ahern. I want to know why I should pay it.
With the tip of one thick finger, Ahern slid his cup to the middle of the table, indicating he wanted a refill. Zed smoothed out his sleeves before obliging him. Ahern drew his cup into the protective shroud of his big arms as he leaned in. He glanced around the room. Everyone was watching the bard sing a love song to one of the serving girls. He was holding her hand, singing words of eternal devotion. The girl's face was red. She held her tray behind her back with her other hand as she studied her feet and giggled. Ahern extracted a chain with a silver medallion from under his green flannel shirt. "The reason I want top price is because of this." Zed frowned down his nose at the regal image on the medallion.
"That looks to be Galeon."
Ahern gave a single nod. In the spring and summer, the Hara laid siege to Ebenicia. The Galeons were slowly being choked to death, and no one would help them. Everyone had troubles of their own with the Daharans and didn't want a piece of theirs. The people there needed weapons. I took loads of weapons and some badly needed salt up through some of the more isolated passes. The Galeon guard had offered to escort any who would risk the run, but few took the offer. Those back passes are treacherous. Zed lifted an eyebrow.
"Very noble of you."
"Nothing noble to it. They paid handsomely. I just didn't like to see them folks trapped like that, especially knowing what the Haran soldiers do to those they vanquish. Anyway, I reasoned that some Celtish swords might give them a better chance to defend themselves, that's all. Like I said, we make the best."
Zed lifted a hand from where it was folded over his cane and gestured to the medallion, now back under Ahern's shirt.
"So what is that about?"
"After the siege was lifted, I was called before the Galeon court. Queen Cirilla herself gave this to me. She said I had helped her people defend themselves, and I was always welcome in Galea." He tapped his chest, where the medallion hung under his shirt. "This is a royal pass. It says I may go anywhere I wish in Galea unhindered."
"And so now," Zed said, looking up from under his eyebrows, "you wish to put a price on something that is priceless."
Ahern's eyes narrowed. "What I did was a small bit. They bore the brunt of the hardship. I helped those people because they needed help and because I was paid well. I'm not claiming to be a hero. I did it for both reasons. I wouldn't have done it for one alone. Now, I have this pass, and if it will help me to make a living, well, I don't see anything wrong with that."
Zed leaned back.
"You're right, Ahern. The Galeons, after all, put a price in gold to your work for them. I shall too, if I can. Name your price to take us to Nicobarisi."
The teacup looked tiny in Ahern's big hands as he rolled it back and forth.
30 gold, not one less."
Zed arched an eyebrow.
"My, my, don't we think a lot of ourselves?"
"I can get us there, and that's my price. 30 gold.
20 now, 10 more when you get us to Aedendrill."
"Aedendrill? You never said anything about Aedendrill. I don't want anything to do with Aedendrill, with their wizards and confessors. Besides, we'd have to cross the Rang Shaddaa again."
"You will have to cross anyway to come back here, so you cross in the north. It's hardly out of your way. If you don't like the offer, then I'll offer 20 to take us to Nicobarisi, and I'm sure I can find someone there more than willing to take us to Aedendrill for the other 10, if we even need carriage after my wife is healed. If you want all 30, then I'll commit to it now, if you agree to take us all the way. That's my offer."
Ahern rolled his cup back and forth.
"All right, to Aedendrill, 20 now, 10 in Aedendrill."
He pointed a meaty finger in Zed's direction. "But you have to agree to one condition."
"Such as?"
Ahern's finger moved to point at Zed's red hat.
"You can't wear that hat. That feather will spook the horses, sure."
Zed's wrinkly cheeks spread in a grin.
"One condition of my own, then."
Ahern cocked his head.
"You have to tell my wife that it's your condition."
Ahern grinned back.
"Done."
His grin vanished as quickly as it had come. "This isn't going to be an easy journey, Reuben, up into and across those mountains. I have a coach I bought with my earnings from hauling to Ebenicia. I can mount runners to it, make easier going in the deep snow.
He tapped a finger against the side of the cup.
Now, the gold?
The bard's fingers danced across the strings, playing an enthralling tune without words. Practically every toe in the room was moving in time with it, adding a drum-like accompaniment. Zed reached into his robes and put a hand around the two purses of silver coins. He watched the room without seeing it. And then the wizard did again that which he had had to do far too often of late. He channeled a warm flow of magic into the bags of silver coins and changed them to gold. But what choice did he have? To fail in this endeavor was to see the world of the living die. He hoped he was not simply providing himself justification for an act he knew was dangerous.
"Nothing is ever easy," he muttered under his breath.
"What was that?"
"I said, I know it's not easy, this journey."
He plunked the dark brown bag of gold on the table.
"This should make it possible. 20 now, as agreed."
Ahern pulled open the draw top and put two big fingers into the bag, counting, while Zed idly watched people enjoying the food and drink and music. He was anxious to be off to Nicobarisi.
"This some kind of joke?"
Zed brought his attention back to Ahern. With two fingers, the big man drew a coin from the bag and flicked it across the table. The coin spun with a dull color before finally toppling over, making a sound just as dull. Zed stared incredulously. The coin looked just like an ordinary coin, except it was wood instead of gold.
Well.
Ahern had poured the rest of the gold coins into his big mitt and was now letting them tumble back into the purse.
"And there are only 18 here. You're too short. I'm not taking wooden coins."
Zed smiled indulgently as he pulled the light brown purse from his robes.
"I apologize, Ahern."
He swept the wooden coin from the table.
"It would seem I gave you the wrong purse, the one with my lucky coin."
"I would never give that away, of course. It's more valuable to me than gold."
He peered into his purse. 17, and two of those were wood, too. There should have been 19 altogether. His mind reeled as he tried to make sense of it. Could Master Hillman have tried to short him?
No, that would be too clumsy a theft.
Besides, to carve a coin from wood, hoping to pass it off as gold, would be witless.
"My other two gold?"
"Oh, yes.
Zed pulled two gold coins from the purse and slid them across the table. Ahern added them to his purse, jerked the drawstring tight, and stuffed the dark brown bag into a pocket.
"I'm at your bidding now. When would you like to leave?"
The silver coins that were turned to wood instead of gold did not concern the wizard. That could be explained. Somehow. But there were three coins missing. Vanished. That could not be explained. That did concern him. Concern him down to the bones in his toes.
"I would like to leave as soon as possible, at once."
"You mean tomorrow?"
Zed snatched up his hat.
"No, I mean at once."
He glanced at the man's puzzled frown.
"My wife. There is no time to waste. She needs to get to her healers."
Ahern shrugged.
"Well, I just got back from Tristan. I'll need to catch a little sleep. It's going to be a long, hard run."
Zed reluctantly nodded his acquiescence.
"First, I'll put the runners on the coach. That'll take a couple of hours, less if I can get one of these fellas to help me."
Zed thumped his cane.
"No! Tell no one what you're doing or where you're going. Don't even tell anyone you're leaving."
He snapped his mouth shut when he saw Ahern's frown and thought he had better say something to ease it.
"Those shadows you spoke of, has no good to let them know where to point an arrow."
Ahern stared down suspiciously as he stood to his full, towering height, drawing his long coat on.
"First, you talk me into taking you to the accursed land of wizards and confessors, and now this? I think I asked too little."
He flicked the ends of the coat's belt together into a loose knot.
"But a bargain is a bargain. I'll get the coach set up and get some provisions together before I snatch a little sleep. I'll meet you back here 3 hours before dawn. We'll be across the border and into Galia before midday tomorrow."
"I have a horse at the stables. We might as well take her along. Stop by and fetch her before you come for us."
Zed dismissed the man with an absent wave of his cane.
3 hours before dawn.
His mind was racing in other directions. This was more serious than he had thought. It was imperative that they have help as soon as possible. Maybe the woman in Nicobarisi who had had the 3 daughters had studied somewhere, perhaps someplace closer. Maybe they could find what they needed without going all that way. Time was of the essence. The light only knows, Addie had said, where the woman had learned about the Skryn. The light was a common reference to the gift. It was also an obscure reference to something else entirely. He thumped his cane on the floor. Must Addie always speak in sorceress's riddles? As Ahern headed for the door, the wizard rose and headed for the stairs. Chapter 35. Zed opened the door to be confronted by a haze of smoke that smelled of creosote. The window was opened, letting in icy cold air and letting out the smoke. Addie sat on the bed, wrapped nearly to her neck in a blanket, brushing her straight, black and gray, jaw-length hair.
What's going on? What happened?
She pointed with a hairbrush.
I be cold. I tried to start a fire.
Zed glanced to the hearth.
You need wood, Addie. You can't have a fire without wood.
He expected a scowl. Instead, it was a look of disquiet.
There be wood. I used magic to try to light the fire from where I be in bed. But there be a big puff of smoke and sparks. I opened the window to let out the smoke. When I looked to the hearth, the logs be gone.
Zed stepped closer to her.
Gone?
She nodded and went back to brushing.
Something be wrong. Wrong with my gift.
Zed stroked a hand down her hair.
I know. I had a similar problem. It must be the taint.
He sat and took the brush from her hand, setting it down.